As we turn the page on another year, I think it's good to remember that the next page is printed on the other side of it. So the end and the beginning are really one and the same. I very much enjoy eating cereal. Hello, and welcome to The Empty Bowl, a meditative podcast about cereal. My name is Justin McElroy, and I'm a cereal enthusiast.
And my name's Dan Gubert, and I am just serially happy to be here.
Serialist, okay. Hey, welcome. Portmanteaus on our thing. You know what our thing is? Making a relaxing cereal-based podcast for you. This is our year-end spectacular, but it's not going to be as explosive as many others, as you may have heard this year. It's going to be relaxing. So we ask that for the next half hour or so, you give yourself permission to just think about cereal. We're going to have some, probably a little bit of cereal news. Things have slowed down on the release front, so we're not going to be talking any reviews, but we will be talking about our some of our big hits and big misses for the year. And I'm very excited to see where you've ended up. I'm always looking forward to. I like reviewing. You know, there just isn't what you hope for, some sort of Wikipedia page that says, here's all the new cereals that came out this year and accompanying box art. But it is that resource for cereal podcasters I've not been able to find yet. So I've relied on seriously.net for my information here.
Yeah, I mean, me too, obviously. But then even I will go back to all the things that I reviewed in a year, and I was like, wow, I totally either forgot that it existed or I thought it happened like 5 years ago. Serial time does not work like normal chronological time.
No, Serial Time is, well, that's Gabe's show.
And right, only right.
Infringing his copyright. Are you counting, by the way, we talked about Cinegram Toast Crunch last year, right? Even though the review came out in 2022, we included that in our 2021 rankings, correct?
No, I don't think we did. And
did
you
we
might
not?
Have spoiled the my entire number one cereal of the year.
Well, I couldn't remember because I know we definitely got, I think we got review boxes at the end of the year. That's good to know. All right. That helps me with my ranking. So we'll return to that. Dan, what's going on in the world of news?
So you mentioned copyright infringement earlier, and boy, yeah, was there a great case of that happening in the cereal world. So I don't know if you've heard of mischief before, like the word mischief without any vowels in it.
Yeah, they do. Like, it's one of those like drop companies, right? They do like exclusive weird drops of stuff that you can buy.
Yeah, and basically all their stuff tends to, you know, play fast and loose with other people's intellectual properties, and I don't frankly know how they keep getting away with it, but they have done it again with the mischief Big Loop, the Big Fruit Loop, spelled like the word fruit because, you know, that's how you skirt the copyright lawyers.
Right.
But this is basically one giant Fruit Loop inside of a box. And, you know, as these limited edition drops tend to go, it already sold out in, like, literal seconds of it coming out, and I did not get one. But this is, like, the first time where I'm really upset about that, because most of the time I don't really care about these drops, but man,
right,
one giant box-sized Fruit Loop is something I'm totally into, and I've kind of been watching the resale market, hoping that someone will sell one for below like $100 so I can shamefully actually indulge in that fantasy. But I guess I'll just keep waiting to see if it depreciates.
Well, it will. Considering the fact that it's a giant Fruit Loop, it will depreciate in value, I have to assume, right?
It will disintegrate quite slowly.
Disintegrate, yes.
What I like is that, like, this became a big headline, obviously, because of the clickbait value. And I was reading, like, the CNN business article about it, and they even reached out to Kellogg's about it. And Kellogg's was just like, given the trademark infringement and unauthorized use of our brand, we have reached out to the company seeking an amicable resolution. Like, what do they hope that's going to be? Like,
yeah,
they ended up selling it anyway, so I'm guessing no sort of amicable resolution was
I mean, you can send them a cease and desist, but I think they're out of the game at this point, right? Like, they're done.
I just can't believe that this small, like, scrappy startup was able to do this, on, like, without you know, Kellogg's army of lawyers trampling all over them, but
yeah,
maybe the profit that they're getting from honestly just scalping it themselves and selling it on the resale market maybe is how they do it. I don't know. But there's something going on here.
Talk to me about, you know, I'm a big Disney fan. They're getting back into the cereal game, huh?
Yeah, so Disney has now seemingly worked with every single major cereal company. Like, we saw in the past that they released cereals through General Mills and Kellogg's, but now Post is getting in on the Disney cereal game with two different cereals to celebrate Disney's 100 Years of Wonder centennial anniversary event. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not as much of a Disney guy as you are, so I'm interested to hear your take on these two cereals, one of which is a Mickey Mouse Club confetti cake cereal, and the other is sort of just, you know, there's not even like a name for what this flavor is on the box. It just says naturally and artificially fruity flavored sweetened cereal, which appears to be in the shape of red and blue Mickey Mouse heads. So from my perception, it's not the most creative, but.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I like the boxes, actually. I think the boxes are kind of cool. And a lot of this, like, Disney 100 Years of Wonder has the same, like, aesthetic. So, I mean, the Mickey Mouse-shaped pieces, I think, are cool. It just, you know, fruity is, like, the biggest question mark. What other, like, post-fruity stuff? I mean, what other post-fruity stuff do you think this could be? I mean, it's not going to lift Fruity Pebbles flavor. Like, what other templates does Post have for, like, fruity stuff?
I don't know that they really do. I mean, what I'm thinking is that considering that Post also owns Malto Meal, they do kind of have the machinery, I guess, to produce the fruit flavor from any of their other, like, dupes that they've done for, like, Fruit Loops or Trix or otherwise. So
yeah,
considering the range of formulation that they have access to in their shared post-Malto Meal laboratories, I think it's really hard to say.
It could be anything. I'll look forward to it. You know, I like a fruity-flavored cereal. I'll look forward to it for sure. The other one, birthday cake, any sort of stuff like that. I'm very... very skittish on confetti cake cereal. I know exactly what that's going to taste like. I don't think I'll love it. Tell me about these cookie dough bites, Dan.
So this is a really, really strange one, and I don't really understand the whole story behind it, but, like, you know, cookie dough bites, the sort of, like, candy that you can, you know, get
a movie theater staple, right? It's only at the movie theater, as far as I know.
Yeah, this one really specific niche candy brand is apparently, big question mark after that, getting its own cookie dough bites cereal. And, you know, just from looking at the box, there's no major cereal company seemingly attached to this stuff. I posted about it on Twitter, and, you know, someone was pointing out that it is probably made by Taste of Nature, which is, you know, the parent company of the actual candy. They make things like Mrs. Fields cookies and all kinds of different candies and stuff. So I wouldn't imagine that they have, like, the full facilities to make a cereal like this. And a lot of the stuff on the box art, I have to imagine, isn't finalized because, like, they just have new with two exclamation points, proudly boasting it as the original. And, you know, listing it as
the original cookie dough bite cereal.
Yeah, listing it as an excellent source of 10 vitamins and supplements, which is definitely what I care about in a cookie dough bite cereal.
I don't think I've heard supplements before.
What really throws me about this, though, is that, like, if you Google it, there are places where you can place an order for a box of cookie dough bite cereal, and I tried, and, like, a week later they canceled my order outright and said that they didn't have it. So
they're kidding.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a late early April Fool's joke or what. I really want this to be real because I really like cookie dough flavored things. I liked, like, the Keebler cereal in the past and the chocolate chip cookie dough Crave. So this is something that I'd really like to get my hands on if at all possible. Someone out there is hoarding both all of the world's supply of Mischief Big Loops and Cookie Dough Bites cereal, and I need to have a word with this individual.
Have you looked at the side of this box? It's a little hard to make out, but it's advertising something else that I feel like, is it just for the company, or?
It looks like it's just listing all the different candies that they are selling, so
Who knows?
There's something too. I don't know if you can see it. Very blurred. I couldn't really find a higher resolution. The picture, the words at the bottom of the box next to the actual candy says candy images are for illustration purposes only and not included, I believe, is what it says.
Okay.
So
I mean, yeah,
any
that makes
hope
sense.
That this actually included little cookie dough bites within the cereal is kind of a false hope. And I think based on the ingredients list that I saw on the listing, this is just kind of like another corn-based cereal. So maybe it's all right. Okay. If I never get my hands on this,
yeah,
it would just be a disappointment. But I'll still try.
And our last sort of like cereal co-branding of the year. This one looks really lazy.
It looks lazy, but it also looks really tasty. This is Betty Crocker Reese's Puffs Complete Peanut Butter Pancake Kit. And this is actually the second complete pancake kit to come from Betty Crocker, which is, of course, a General Mills subsidiary. In the past year, they launched a Lucky Charms pancake kit that, you know, was just kind of all right, because, like, pancakes and Lucky Charms kind of similar veins of flavor that don't do much more than like complement each other naturally. But like, I'm a big fan of a peanut butter pancake. There's this place near me that serves like face sized, like your face sized peanut butter chocolate pancakes, and that's like, and this feels really almost sacrilegious to say considering the context here, I'm usually not a sweets for breakfast kind of guy, but that's the kind of flavor that I can get behind. And even though this Reese's Puffs complete peanut butter pancake kit, the only really alignment with Reese's Puffs is the little bits of cereal that they will give you to scatter on top. The fact that these pancakes are stuffed with Reese's peanut butter chips is enough to get me interested and on board completely.
Dan, now it comes to the more sort of business forward aspect of our program, today. It's rare that we have something that is so monumental and I'd say like impactful for the cereal world. I know they're all waiting with bated breath to see what we choose as our favorites of the year. Do you want to start with the best cereal of the year and work down from there, or do we build to that?
Well, let's see. So we kind of talked about this, and like, usually we would do a top five cereals of the year, but given like the comparative dearth of really, really great standout options, I kind of was only able to pare my list down to three. So maybe let's start by counting down our top three of the year, and then maybe we can go into a couple spin-off categories to give people an idea of what else came out this year.
Dan, what was your number three cereal of the year?
So this one's a little bit tough, because this is a cereal that I'm guessing maybe like a dozen people in the entire country even got to try, but these were the General Mills Filled Bites cereals that, at least at this point, were still only released in like demo markets in Minnesota. And I guess maybe they didn't perform as well as you would have hoped, because I haven't heard anything else about them. But those were mainly the Golden Grahams s'mores variety of those Filled Bites just really drove me wild. This concept was basically an evolution of the Philo's cereal that General Mills released in the past.
Yeah.
But this iteration of it, where they had this like Golden Grahams flavored pillow that was then filled with sweet cream and then also dusted with chocolate on top, was just the ultimate layering of flavors that I love so much. Mm-hmm. And it was extremely dense, extremely hearty, and maybe that's
so
why
dense.
It didn't fly so well alongside other conventional light and airy cereals, but as far as I'm concerned, denser and heavier is the future of cereal. I want that. I was going to say heavy metal cereal, like heavy metal the concept, but I really don't want any, you know, jagged metal crustios in my breakfast.
Yeah, right.
So you get the idea. But that is my number three. I don't know. What's your number three?
My number three this year is Strawberry Banana Cheerios.
Ooh.
An early variety. You know, we are big fans of a lot of different Cheerios varieties. And I really thought that the new berry variety of Oat Crunch would be in this list for me, and it didn't quite make it. But these strawberry banana Cheerios. I just found the tartness of the strawberries and the banana flavor to be really a nice balance to the hardiness of the oat pieces, and I really enjoyed this variety. You know, I usually like Cheerios in all their different forms, but this flavor was really nice.
That was a good one, light and refreshing. It didn't quite crack my top of the list, but I will agree it was a good one.
It was a good one. What was your number two?
So my number two, this is one of the ones that surprised me that it actually came out this year. It was actually the first product that I reviewed in 2022, and this was Peanut Butter Plentiful cereal.
Ooh.
A cereal that's already, by this point in the year, become pretty hard to find based on what I've been seeing and researching, but it's really a disappointment, and I think a lot of it had to do with the branding surrounding it and like how it was not really given a distinctive voice as a cereal. But regardless, this was a cereal that managed to pack the most genuine peanut buttery flavor. Like, again, like I was saying when we first reviewed it, rarely do you see a cereal that focuses only on peanut butter without supplementing it with chocolate or something else. But this Plentiful knew what it was doing. It tripled down on the actual real nutty peanut butteriness, and for that, I have to give it credit. It was delicious.
Now, my number two is going to ruffle some feathers. But I had to look. I really looked at, like, what did I go back for? Bowl after bowl. And it was Pandora Flakes. And I know.
What?
I know. But I really liked those blueberry pieces in the Pandora Flakes. And we'll talk about box art later. It will get a mention there, too. But for me, Dan, I know. But it has been a weird year for cereal, and that cereal, there is something about that combination of the Frosted Flakes with those blueberry spheres that I really enjoyed. Could it have been a combination I made myself? Maybe, but I didn't, and Kellogg's did. So that is my number two favorite cereal of the year.
Well, I can always count on you to bring an out-of-left-field approach, and I guess you're in luck because you'll probably get three more Pandora Flakes varieties with the next Avatar sequels. So,
from your lips to God's ears, Dan.
kind of spoiled it a little bit earlier, but my top cereal of the year has to be Cinnagram Toast Crunch.
Let's cut the tension. It's mine too. Go ahead.
Okay.
Let's go ahead.
Now I'm kind of worried that, like, I don't remember. Did we pick this one for cereal of the year last year? But honestly, ultimately, it doesn't matter because it deserves to be cereal of the year for both 2021 and 2022. Like, it's unbelievable how much better Cinnagram Toast Crunch is than even normal Cinnamon Toast Crunch, let alone any other cinnamon cereal out there. The Graham base, this proves its viability in all use cases. So I don't see how, even after a year of Cinnagram Toast Crunch, since this did come out at the start of the year, we haven't seen that Graham dynasty expand into other areas yet. So outside of the Filled Bites, of course, which, you know, didn't land, I guess. But
I will also say another thing that I really like about this pick is that it is one of those, a lot of cereals, that new cereals can be very finicky. And they can come and go. I will say that this one I have seen pretty consistently in stores. I think this one must be doing well because I see it a lot.
Yeah, this is one too where, like, I'll still get comments on my blog post months and months later of people being like, you know, I was apprehensive, but you're so right. I tried it. Absolutely the best out there. And I haven't heard
of anyone who doesn't like it. I don't understand any apprehension about this product, but I will grant it, I suppose.
Yeah. I also want to give an honorable mention. The one that almost cracked my top three was the Cinnamon Toast Crunch Rolls. And this was one that I did have apprehension surrounding just because I was like, oh, it's like the churros. It's another new shape for the same basic flavor. But the small rounds of Cinnamon Toast Crunch seemed to just hold the flavor a lot better. And especially in milk, they performed especially well. So here's hoping that in 2023, we get a Cinnagram Toast Crunch Rolls to really bring the best of those two worlds together.
But what about the bad cereals, Dan? Certainly, as hard as it, you know, I tend to be of the school of thought where, you know, pretty much any cereal is good. Like, I like most every cereal. It's rare that I have a cereal I just can't. And this year had a few. that I just couldn't get there.
Mm-hmm. So I think we all know what the number one here is. It's another representation for the Toast Crunch family on this list. They really captured the highs and lows of this
year.
Isn't
that interesting? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's Cinefuego Toast Crunch for me. 100 million percent. That was just...
It's unreal.
There have been some people who have said that I was wrong for this and that they and their specific love of hot tamales should be justified in liking this cereal. But, like, you are the vast, vast minority in that case. Yeah. I'm sorry. This stuff is painful.
It's as close as you can get to being wrong about something that is subjective.
It's completely subjective, yeah. To me, this was getting pepper sprayed in the mouth and, you know, being told it's a delicious hot cinnamon flavor until it's being rebranded as a prank, of course. So, I don't think the future of spicy cereal is especially bright after Cinefuego Toast Crunch.
Yeah.
Did you have another that...
No, that was my number one. I do want to give special notice to Elf on the Shelf. I mean, Elf on the Shelf writ large, all bad. Mm-hmm. But Elf on the Shelf Snow Cream was one of the most unpleasant cereal eating experiences I had this year. Truly gross. I don't know who it's for. I don't understand it. It feels like a TikTok stunk food, and I don't know why they made it.
It's just so unfortunate to me because, like, we harp all day on this show about wanting more innovation in the cereal aisle, and
right.
These companies try to do something crazy with, like, temperature manipulation, and it just falls so flat, and we're so vocally against it that I'm worried they're never going to try anything creative again. But, you know, there's other directions you can go outside of this sort of, you know, thaumaturgical magic. I want to give a dishonorable mention as well. This one is, like, one that wasn't necessarily terrible. It was just very, very disappointing. And that was Wendy's Frosty cereal.
That was on my list, too, for the disappointment factor, for sure.
Yeah, this is just something that when you have a name as iconic as the Wendy's Frosty attached to a cereal... You have to do something more than just repackage Cocoa Puffs, but that's all that really happened here, and it's instantly forgettable as a result. The best thing about it was that it included a coupon for, like, a free Frosty or something.
Do you know the flavor? I was thinking about it. The flavor that I feel like they could that was missing from this, and is kind of, like, missing from a lot, is malt.
Yeah.
You know, that is a malted... Frosty is a malted treat, and, like, malt flavor is delicious, and, like, I mean, even malt oatmeal I don't feel like is bringing the malt in the way that you would want. I would love to see malt flavor represented more. Like, if they had some of that maltiness in there, I feel like it could have been a lot stronger. But yeah, I thought that was hugely, hugely disappointing.
Yeah, if we got, like, a Whoppers cereal, that would be great.
Oh, come on, yeah.
We're more likely to get a Burger King Whoppers cereal, I think, though, from the steamed line of fast food Wendy's cereals. But yeah.
Any other especially bad ones this year?
I think you hit it with the Elf on the Shelf, really. Oh, it's just, God. Yeah.
So vulgar. So vulgar. Now we mentioned box art a little bit earlier. Were there any that, like, jumped out to you as really great this year?
So my pick for box art of the year award goes to Trix Trax, actually.
Oh my God, Dan, that's mine too.
Yes, I really love the juxtaposition of the cartoony Trix rabbit in his little, you know, Jurassic Park Ranger outfit contrasted with this photorealistic Tyrannosaurus chasing him. And it doesn't hurt that, like, I like tricks with marshmallows as a concept, so this cereal actually paired well with that. And it's something you can just stare at and really appreciate the sheer absurdity of it as you're eating this pretty good cereal, and I like that a lot.
I like that cereal a lot, too. You know, it almost got into my list. It's really fun. It helps the box art, too, because it looks gorgeous. I mean, like, it is like what you think of as cereal as a kid. It looks like what the Berenstain Bears would have eaten in, like, a cereal. Like, it just looks so, like, colorful and fun. I liked that one. My kids liked it. It was a good cereal. I loved that that box art, though. That was some of my favorite.
But it sounds like you have another honorable mention there as well, huh?
No, that was my number one. I mean, that one really, you know, it's hard with box art because there's been some cool stuff, but it's like, It's so not specific to the cereal, right? Like, I like some of the new boxes. I think the Ambush Reese Puffs box looks kind of cool. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The Amazing Fantasy is a classic cover on the Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I don't know what it has to do with Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It's cool, though.
Well, I thought you were going to give it to Pandora Flakes.
I mean, that is the... I mentioned it before, but yes, to return to it, Pandora Flakes is astounding. The fact that that is a cereal that it feels like kink content is fantastic. I think that it is a truly wonderful looking box art where you see Tony ready for bed. He's got a Navi themed kerchief. He's just looking at you like, yeah, I did it.
Yeah, I really dug the Star Wars Frosted Flakes box too that they did. It really seems like Tony's getting all the budget when it comes to crazy box art, whereas like all the other Kellogg's mascot redesigns have been pretty bland, but they're going all in on CGI Tony, and I really like having the actual mascot getting adapted to this licensed property better than, you know, just slapping the characters on a box from the film. So good on them for that. So yeah, I thought we could round it out with a handful of wild card categories that I have set up for the year. I don't know if you have any, but I can just sort of go through.
I had a couple that I wanted to ask you about if you have one, but I'd love to hear one of yours.
Let me start with what I'm calling the Not Quite a Cereal of the Year Award. And this one goes out to a cereal adjacent product that you're not going to eat in a bowl with milk. Well, maybe you will, but it's sort of... I'll just cut to the right to the chase. It's the Count Chocula and Frankenberry Pillsbury shape cookies. And man, those things were so good. I love the Pillsbury shape cookies when they come out for every holiday. But never before have I seen Pillsbury infuse a flavor into those sugar cookies. And what they did with the chocolate and strawberry varieties to commemorate the monster cereals felt like a really good cap on the Halloween season, something you can make super easily, and yet they're so addictively pop-in-your-mouthable, and I really, really like that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the Reese's Big Cup with Reese Puffs.
You tried that? I haven't found it yet.
I found it at Sheetz. Yeah, I like the Ouroboros nature of that. Like, it's an infinite recursion of Reese's, and I think that is fantastic.
Did the crisp texture really come through?
Yeah, nice texture. Wow. It's good. It's a good little one. I like that. I wanted to ask you, Dan, and maybe I don't know what your other questions are, but I did want to ask you, do you have a most anticipated cereal for next year? Of the things we've heard rumored. And this is interesting because if you look at, I look at some of the Instagram sources where it's like, this has been spotted in places or this is coming. There are so many that I thought we would see this year that just have not material, like that those Pebbles stars, you know what I mean? Like
I saw somebody find those.
Did they? Have those been located? I mean, I have a limited selection here too. And the minis too. Have you seen those pop up anywhere?
I've heard of those popping up at different sort of off supermarkets as well, not necessarily at the big places, but I think they are starting to slowly roll out. And I don't know about you, but I did just get a General Mills 2023 new cereal care package that did include the Trix minis as well. So those are, I'll probably be delivering a review of those in our next episode.
When did you get that box?
Literally yesterday, so.
Oh my gosh, so maybe there's still hope for me. I'll cross my fingers.
Yeah, one of the ones that I did get in that box is one that I have been anticipating, and that would be the IHOP mini blueberry pancake cereal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to dive into that one. I don't know if it will be... It's all going to hinge on what the base grain texture is like. I know it's probably going to be corn. It looks like it's corn, but like blueberry maple always has my heart, so I'm looking forward to that one.
I did also want to mention I was feeling poorly a few days ago, and I usually reach for waffles when I feel sick for some reason. It's just what I like to eat when I'm sick. And I had some Fruit Loops waffles that we purchased for the kids.
Oh,
they're okay. Not as vibrant as you might hope in terms of the Fruit Loops flavor, but it doesn't overpower it, which is nice. Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Nice. Okay, so my next category goes to the Pop-Tart of the year. And, you know, we kind of didn't have a huge number of them to choose from. I counted three mainline Pop-Tart releases that came out this year. Hmm. But far and away, my favorite was Boston Cream Pie Pop-Tarts. And that really, I don't know, they really nailed the custardy filling on that one, which I think was very unique for a Pop-Tart filling, where usually they'll just do sort of the same sort of sweet cream in the middle. But they really kind of mixed up the game with that one, and I really dug that. And even, I'll honestly give an honorable mention in that category to something that's not an outright Pop-Tart, and that would be the Crumble Cookies Strawberry Pop-Tart Cookie, which even though I had some quality control issues with how much filling distribution there was in mine, like the way that they adapted this sort of thinner toaster pastry to a really thick and dense and doughy cookie was a really great evolution. It was basically like they digivolved this Pop-Tart into a more of a mega form.
I'm not a big Pop-Tarts guy, so I did not try any new varieties of Pop-Tarts this year, Dan.
A strict cereal purist, I understand.
I have a category for you.
Please.
Non-cereal add-in of the year.
Non-cereal add-in of the year.
So what, like, not, like, what did you mix into your cereal the most this year? And I'll start with mine because I've been big into it. I have quite a few times this year made a large batch of caramel corn. And I eat some of it, and then eventually it gets like, okay, I can't with this stuff anymore. This is like, it's getting overpowering. But mixed into a more neutral cereal, like your Crispix, your Corn Flakes, your most of the Chex, what have you, easily elevates most cereals. It's a fascinating texture. It's kind of surprising me that we haven't seen, except for the fact that it's like not really a cereal grain, and I understand that, but like it feels like the opportunity's there to just put popcorn in it. I know it's a, you know, it takes up a lot of space. Like, that's what people love about the corn stuff, right? Like, it's an inexpensive commodity. I'm surprised we just haven't seen more caramel corn, but I especially homemade caramel corn, throw a handful in your cereal, fantastic.
I mean, I'm just worried about the sort of the holes issue. I don't want any sort of milky holes stuck between my teeth from popcorn.
I mean, but you'll eat Captain Crunch. I mean, I don't know what to tell you, Dylan. Either you value mouth safety or you don't.
That's a good
question. I'm willing to risk it for the biscuit.
That's a good question, though. In terms of cereal mix-ins, I think this is something I've talked about before, where I like to, before I start eating my cereal, I will dip my spoon and take a little mini scoop of, like, peanut butter from the jar, so that when I start scooping out my cereal, not only do I get a little bit of bite of peanut butter, but also the cereal pieces will stick to my spoon, basically like a little flycatcher, which is not the most appetizing metaphor, but you get what I mean. What I tried mixing up this year was that instead of just using normal peanut butter, they make this honey peanut butter, which I think complements extremely well with any, like, honey nut-based cereal to get you both of that additional hit of both honey and nut. And, you know, now that I think about it, I have another addition to my list of most anticipated cereal of next year. I have heard early word that Kellogg's Crunchy Nut will be reappearing on shelves. And,
wow.
I talked about Plentiful cereal being like the most peanut buttery cereal out there, but Kellogg's Crunchy Nut is the only cereal I can think of that really elevates the peanut straightforward. Not peanut butter. This is a peanut-flavored cereal, and there's something really special about that.
Any other categories, Dan? Anything else that you have been thinking about?
Okay, I got one more, and this is sort of a dual award category.
Okay.
First, this is the Wait, Who Award? And this goes to a cereal that I most completely forgot even existed that came out this past year that I didn't even remember about until I went back through all my reviews. And this goes to Honey Vanilla Cheerios, a cereal that was so barely distinct from, like, just a normal Cheerio or a Honey Nut cereal that it feels like it didn't really have any reason to ever be released.
Yeah.
It went in one mouth. I'm not going to finish that. but yeah, it's not much to speak of. Let's just leave it in the past and forget it. But the compliment to that award goes to the Wait, Who Hooray Award. And this goes to a serial that I may have forgot existed, but when I remembered that existed, I remembered just how good it was. And that goes to Pebbles Shake-Ups, specifically the sweet and salty birthday cake version of it.
Mm.
This is the only time I'll ever probably give props to a birthday cake-related cereal. But these were little snack pouches that mixed a bunch of different bits together from different Post products. So you got birthday cake Pebbles boulders, waffle crisp pieces, and salted pretzel bits. And that's how you do birthday cake right, is you elevate it with something else. You give that sweet smack of waffle crisp maple syrup, and you add that crazy good salted pretzel bite. Like, if spicy cereal is not the future, maybe having a hint of salt is. Those things were really good, and I hope it's not the last we'll see of Pebbles Shake-Ups, because they really did right on the chicken and waffles version from Post in the past, where they took out sort of the not-so-great chickeny bits and left behind that salty sweetness that did us right. So congrats, Pebbles Shake-Ups.
Congrats to all of our winners for this year. Congratulations. It's a huge achievement. I'm sure you're going to start seeing the headlines tomorrow after, you know, this episode's released in the trades. But I'm just happy to play a part in history.
Mm-hmm.
But Dan, who do we owe gratitude to this week?
We would like to thank Chris Zabriskie for our opening theme of The Sun is Scheduled to Come Out Tomorrow, Bria Davis for our amazing podcast branding, M. Loper and Samuel Rarden for designing our Empty Bowl merch, and to all of our listeners who stuck with us through 2022, we wish you a very crunchy and happy 2023.
That's going to do it for us for this week. So until the next episode, for Dan Gubert, my name is Justin McElroy. And as always, don't forget
to drink
the milk
at midnight.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah. Get your special milk.
Kiss of old Cheerios when the clock strikes midnight.
Fill your champagne flutes with milk.